This is a recording of ISIS International from the Commission on the Status of Women, held in New York in March 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
I know sometimes at these gatherings we all just show very serious faces, but I like to see smiles. I'm really happy to be here representing my country, and also the fact that I'm here as a young person from Botswana. Usually with these advocacy movements, you find that young people are always in the background, and you find it's always older people that are in the forefront. So I'm excited.
Your name?
Mpho Leng. Mpho is my name. Mpho. It's hard to pronounce. M-P-H-O, which means gifts. So I'm really excited to be here as a young person representing this movement of ours. Feminist Task Force Botswana only started last year, whereby I met up with a lady from who came from New York, and we just chatted a bit, and we ended up doing this Aisha Glassford, and then we started this movement together. My interest really was the fact that as a child that grew up in the city, I really always wanted to know what goes on in the villages. I was not aware of a lot of things. So my interest came in after I completed my studies and I went to be a guidance and counseling personnel in the rural area. So there I saw poverty with my own eyes for the first time. There I saw women that had just really given up on the government because they've been promised a lot of things that did not happen. There I saw the girl child who went to school barefooted. There I saw the girl child whose parents had died and she was probably living with a grandmother, or she was an orphan child and she was supposed to be taken care of by the government. But whatever it is that the government gave to the family, the old woman or the uncle ends up giving it to somebody else, or they end up selling it in exchange for alcohol. So these things touched me. That is why I was so excited to be part of the Feminist Task Force to do a tribunal on climate change. And at this tribunal, we invited women from rural areas to come into the city and share their stories with us. And these women were really excited that, you know, for the first time, there's somebody that wants to listen to them. There's somebody that is listening to their story firsthand. So these were the two ladies, two witnesses. One is a subsistence farmer who comes from a very prime area of Botswana. And if you know anything about Botswana, you know we have the Okavango Delta, which is the most selling part for tourism. This is like the prime area in Botswana, but come to think of it, the people that enjoy it or that benefit from it mostly are people with money. Because what has happened is that the government has allocated land, prime land, to those people that build big lodges where the tourists come and see what is in Botswana and they pay them money. But the person, the grassroots level people, don't get the same opportunity as these people that run these lodges. They used to do fishing in those rivers. This has stopped because the area is owned by some people. And then also people that get to have big yards or big households in that area are also rich people. So it becomes a prime area that is owned by people that already have money. So the person on the street who has been actually making a living through fishing and selling the fish can't do that anymore because it's trespassing if they get into that land. And now, because with the fact that climate change has affected a lot of them, in that there's flooding and then there's the rainfall season has changed. They never know when it's going to rain. They never know when it's going to be flooding and stuff like that. So it means that when they do their plowing, sometimes it doesn't rain. And they live off these, whatever they plow in their fields. So if it's not raining, they're not able to get anything from that. And they can't go out there and fish and sell the fish. So they now have to buy the fish from the rich person, which is now twisted. And therefore becomes a very big difficulty in educating their children. And also for them to be able to feed their families, which takes away their dignity, takes away their pride, and takes away the feeling of knowing that, you know, you're doing something for your children. And this affects mostly women, because a lot of households in Botswana are headed by women, which I think is mostly all over the world. And then, I mean, as much as we have a big success story on the HIV/AIDS in Botswana, you still find that there's a lot of orphaned kids that live with their grandmothers because their parents or their mothers died of HIV/AIDS. And these grandmothers are the ones that live off plowing the fields and living off that. But now when there's situations like the rainfall, lack of rainfall, or there's a lot of flooding like there is in the Okavango Delta, you find that they're not able to get their fees from the plowing, because they plow and they sell their harvesting, and they also use it to feed their families. So if there's lots of floods like this, and if also in some situations there's also a problem which they shared with us of birds that come and eat their plowings. So, and they've been given, the government has tried to give them pesticides that kill these birds, but then the main problem is the birds die, but then you have other animals that come into the fields, they eat the birds, and those animals die. So it becomes another big problem. And if it's not that also, it's also the elephants that are all over, that destroy their fields. And as we know, it's illegal to kill elephants now. And what they have suggested, they say they've been suggesting this to the government from 10 years ago, is to do an elephant farm, where the government could sell maybe elephant meat or whatever it is. But that has not happened to date, and they don't believe that it's going to happen anytime soon. Whereas the government goes out there to protect the elephants more than they do protect the people that live around that area. And it's believed that the population of the elephants is actually bigger than the population of the people that reside in that area. And if nobody's doing anything about it, they still come and trample their fields. Even if they fence their yards and they fence their fields, the elephants just come and trample on it and they destroy everything. And they really can't do anything about it. They've talked, they've gone out to do anything, whatever you can do to try and get attention. That has not happened yet. So our interest now is to put that sort of pressure on the government to say, here is something that you need to do. You need to help out these people, because this situation is very urgent and it needs urgent interventions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.